kayo'y nakikinig sa SBS Filipino. Pakinggan niyo pa ang kwento sa sbs.com.au/filipino.
Magandang umaga sa ating mga kababayan. Ako po si Edinal Magtibay mula sa SBS Filipino.
Ako naman po si Jason Katiwa mula sa Filipino Nursing Diaspora Network.
At ito po ang Kalinga Podcast Series. Hatid po namin ang bagong serye ng talakayang pangkalusugan para sa ating komunidad ng mga Pilipino dito sa Australia.
At sa bawat episode ng Kalinga Podcast Series, makasama natin ang iba't ibang health experts at mga individual para bigyan tayo ng kaalaman at impormasyon sa mga napapanahong usapin.
At naku, buena mano po sa ating podcast series ngayong araw, ang Deputy Director ng New South Wales sa Multicultural Health Communication Services. Isa din po siyang dating journalist at ngayon ay patuloy pa rin nagbabahagi ng mga kaalaman at impormasyon sa komunidad. Iba't iba na, no? Hindi na lamang sa Filipino, kundi sa multicultural community. Kasama po natin si Ms. Jesusa Hilaratne. Magandang umaga sa iyo, Ms. Jess.
Magandang umaga sa inyong lahat. Magandang umaga, Edinel, Jason, at Jerome. At I feel honored to be with you to have this conversation today on health for Filipino-Australian communities.
It's really a pleasure, Ms. Jess, to have you here sa ating Kalinga Podcast Series. Para sa mga nakikinig sa atin, please tell us a bit about your role in the New South Wales Multicultural Health Communication Services.
Well, I am the Deputy Director of the Multicultural Health Communication Service, and our service is a statewide service, and it's funded by the Ministry of Health, and we support all multicultural communities across the state, and also collaborate with multicultural health services across the local health districts in New South Wales. And also there are some statewide multicultural health services that are catered to refugees, to mental health, and also to other health issues that are important for communities. So I also support, and I was embedded or worked and seconded at the Ministry of Health in 2020 when COVID became a pandemic, and we were able to bring in our team to help support the Ministry of Health in the State Health Emergency Operations Center, or SHEOC. And doon na nandun tayo sa in the room to make the decisions, to also provide advice to reach multicultural communities, and I think that was a highlight of my career, because it felt like, you know, being a journalist, as you know, you're in the room and media, but also this was a matter of providing the best information and engagement for communities, because it was like a matter of life and death, wasn't it? As you know, alam ko si Edinel, you know, as a journalist, you're covering news left and right. It felt like that. It was like a war on COVID, and it felt like you didn't know, you were just finding out ano ba tong COVID, sino ba to, or you're all in the same room trying to find out ano ba to, how can we solve the problem of COVID, but there are different ways to communicate it across the different communities. But then as a Filipinos were, kasi health workers, there are a lot of health workers who were Filipino members of the community, as just like you, Jason, and Jerome, and we immediately had to thank the community. I remember one of my first roles when I went and joined the SHEOC was to do a video message for the Filipino Australian healthcare workers. Maraming salamat sa inyong ginagawa, and thank you. And it's also our role to get tested immediately with COVID, and to do that. It was a privilege, and it is a privilege to be in this role, and I don't take it for granted.
I understand during that time it must be really, really overwhelming and challenging at the same time. Dahil nakita natin kung gaano kalaki yung responsibilidad ninyo, lalong-lalo na sa multicultural community, dahil parang during that time sila yung clueless din, ano, or hindi rin nila alam kung saan kukuha ng tamang information, and kaliwat-kanan din yung misinformation na nai-encounter ng bawat isa. But with your role, Ms. Jess, ano yung pinaka-mahirap na part sa naging trabaho mo?
Well, there are two things, two steps, no? Meron yung how can you get the information right? Kasi ang mission is to get it in plain English. So the most important thing is it's in plain English so that it can be translated. So, you know, when the messages were there, oh, be vigilant. What does that mean? Kasi in Tagalog, that's be vigilante. naging vigilante, anong ibig mo sabihin dyan? And you contact a lot of the multicultural health services and ask them who speak on the ground, ano ba ang palagay nyo, tama ba to, or is this the right message, tama ba ang tema nito, from a religious point of view, from a cultural point of view. So you have to be culturally appropriate and also linguistically appropriate, that you're not offending any communities at the same time. For example, during Christmas or during Ramadan or during Easter, there are a lot of communities that celebrate that. So paano mo gagawin na maging inclusive yung message mo? So we had to reach out to all the multicultural health services and religious leaders, and we filmed those messages so that they're all, one is from the Greek Orthodox community, one is from the evangelist. So we had to do that. It's a lot of work, let me tell you. It was a lot of work because you're not targeting, you know for yourself, just the Filipino community alone is huge.
Yes.
What more if you're trying to target a lot of communities? So there, at one point, we had 80 videos that we were producing, even in lockdown. So when lockdown happened, we did recordings of videos with doctors from the Pacific community, from teachers with the Samoan community, or we even had a Tongan princess deliver a message for vaccination, because she was the one who was followed by a lot of the community members, and she was very well respected. So we heard information that, oh, you're not reaching the communities. But at one point, a lot of the people think that we are not, but you wouldn't hear what we're doing with the Macedonian community because you're not from the Macedonian community. If you're not from a specific Arabic community, you wouldn't hear that, because we're tying up and meeting with doctors every Monday just to find out what we can do to deliver the messages. So there is a lot of work on the ground by all the multicultural health services, by New South Wales Health staff, the nurses, the doctors. At one point, we had to go and call doctors. And as I said, for the first time, the doctors were calling back, because you know how busy the doctors are all the time. Yeah. When you try to interview them during the past, oh, they don't call you back. You can't do an interview. You know this for a fact, that, you know, because they're
right.
always very busy. But this time they wanted to help, and they would come to where we could film. And I remember that we were going to their homes. Our staff were going to them and filming them. We had doctors late at night. They had a doctor's appointment, and then they were happy to be filmed. And they even came to New South Wales Health so that we could film them, so that we were scheduling them, and sometimes online. So they knew that this was a serious matter, and they wanted to help the community, and they were with us. So it was a collaboration. And that was amazing. If I were to say that was the most incredible thing that took place, we were all doing this together to help the communities. It was difficult because at one point I was in the computer. It was 12 midnight. I was sending out emails, and it was dark, but only the light of the computer. And my God, it was, if the health professionals, if New South Wales Health Chief Health Officer Dr. Kerry Chan is busy, if I'm busy, what more them who are making the decisions, who are deciding on how to deliver the messages that it's important. So I thought that as a public health servant, it was the highlight of my career, and still is.
Wow.
Very, very challenging. I think during the pandemic, as a nurse working on the front line, I can understand from your point that the word needs to get out there fast, but as accurate as needed, because maraming nakasalalay na tao sa impormasyong ibibigay natin sa kanila. And being in this kind of role, Ms. Jess, what was the best strategy that you have made to make sure that everyone in the community, various groups, youth, nurses, community organizations collaborate better?
That's a really good question. It is, as I said, it was about collaboration, but relationship building, respeto. Respeto at nakikinig ka sa mga sinasabi nila. And I think that's really important, that sinabi nga natin na translation, reaching communities is beyond translation. It's not just translate
Correct.
The resource and that's it, send it out. That's not about that. It's having information sessions in language, na merong doktor, you contact the doctor, tapos ibibigay mo yung mensahe in language. We had different messages that was done in Swahili, it was done in Filipino, it was done in Chinese, and we had all these doctors and bilingual health workers supporting. And we did it differently. For example, some were webinars, some were meetings, because some of the community wanted to be face-to-face, wanted to ask questions. And so it was all about trying to communicate in a way that was effective. It was just being creative in how you communicate. And so I guess the best thing that I could say was that having that relationship and knowing that you care, that the fact of the matter is a lot of the people who are listening are, you know, they want to help their families. So you had to deliver that message in a way that if you want to help your family, you have to help yourself. So you have to get tested if you want to keep your family safe. So even the messaging of if you want to drop food, remember you can't knock on the door, you can't, you know, just drop the food, because by doing that, it's showing that you care. So it was those different messaging for different communities that could work for this may not work for that. And consulting with community leaders and asking them, how do you think this message is? If this was a message for this religious group, how do you deliver that? And they said, yeah, that's fine. But maybe you can say it's okay to meet online. It's okay if you don't go to church or the temple. It's all right, or the mosque, because you're doing this for your family. So even those little nuances to add into the message is important, because you can just go, don't do this, don't do that. But adding those little messages that show you care and that show that you're being respectful of that community, that was how it was became very effective.
And I can see it's a collective effort. So lahat sa community, mga healthcare workers, sa government, at sa media, lahat nagtulong-tulong during that time. And I know napapag-usapan natin itong panahon ng pandemic. Pero ito bang panahon na to, where we are right now, at this year, at this point, can we consider this as post-pandemic already, or are we still in the middle of the pandemic?
Well, I can't say that. I'm not an expert in, you know, as in health, as I'm a communicator. But what I could say is that I guess for us is COVID is going to be around. It's one of those illnesses that's going to stick around with us. And so it's just the same way when measles happen. I would say that this is one of the messages that we need to continue delivering. Vaccination messages, keep making sure that you're washing your hands, and that washing your hands is, mm-hmm. Oh my God, how many ways can you wash your hands? I remember I thought I could wash my hands when I first heard about washing your hands, and actually there's a way to do it. And I in that video, I remember I was singing happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you. You had to do it twice so that you know. And now you're doing it because it becomes parang second nature. Now you have to get a sanitizer. You have to wash your hands. You have to wipe with disinfectant. That's a regular thing that we should all be aware of. Noting that also applies for travel. That also applies if you're getting sick with measles. It also applies if you're getting sick with other diseases like diarrhea if you're traveling. So I think now people are aware of health. People used to avoid health messages, and ayaw nila makinig dahil hindi naman ako maapektuhan yan. But now people are open to health information, and there are so many questions that people want to ask, and we should take advantage of that, and we should make sure that there are messages na hindi natin alam na dapat ipalabas sa ating komunidad. And there are so many migrants coming in to the country, the refugees. There are new families that have come in. So I think it is important. I mean, I've been here 20 years, almost over 20 years, and I still don't know some things. What more someone who's just arrived? So you can imagine how vast information has to be. We're taking advantage of the fact that people want to listen to health, and the media wants to do more health stories. And this is just testament of that. Maraming salamat dito sa Kalinga series. But it is important na we give them the right information and where to go to serve to services available, and also information like oral care. When I was doing this interview about oral health, you should just spit, don't rinse. And all this time we've been washing our teeth wrong, because when we're rinsing, we're letting go of the fluoride, and that's and I was like, what? So there's so much information. We just have to say it creatively and in a way that people will engage in. But at the same time, information like for oral health, for example, if you're young, yung mga bata, kung yung mga bata ay binibigyan ng dental care immediately, it will be better for the future. It won't be as expensive. You won't have to have dental treatment. And there are for children under 18 years old, there are public health dental services that are available, but that hasn't been delivered. So we're trying to deliver that in a way that people will know about. Na para yung mga bagong migrants or yung mga bagong refugee communities na dumating dito sa Australia, makukuha nila yung mensahe na yon.
That's right. Pagdating naman sa experience mo sa community ng mga Filipino, ano ba yung mga nakikita mo or mga napaparating sa'yo na mga concerns nila pagdating dun sa mga pag-access sa mga healthcare services or yung iba't ibang mga pwedeng itulong ng government?
Well, there are services na, syempre, wayfinding is really difficult sometimes, you know, just going to the hospital. Ano ba yung serbisyo na kailangan? When I first came here, if I knew about the Philippine women, cultural community, Philippine-Australian community, welfare association, PAXI, that would have been fantastic for me to know. So first, and you try to put that up so that people know where it is, but the Filipino community is, as I said, through the media, we're able to find out what the community members are saying. We do a lot of evidence-based research, and that's important. For example, Cancer Institute and services like the pillars in health. We always try to find out what the issues are within communities, and we try to listen to the feedback. With the Filipino-Australian community, there are messages that we try to deliver in terms of screening, which is for everyone. And I can say that the screening is where the Filipino community, we've been doing breast cancer screening programs. They're very open to the messaging, and they really respond well, and mm-hmm. they go and get tested, and then there are so some communities that may not be doing that because there might not be maybe some stigma in that community. Now, I think that's the most important thing about the work that we do, is we try to find out what are the myths that go into that. So if we do a campaign with the Filipino community, we want to find out ano ba yung what to do back home that stops you from doing from getting tested or seeking the services. Ang ganun ang ginagawa namin sa lahat ng mga multicultural communities na we target. Now, for the Filipino community and other multicultural communities, we have a website, the Multicultural Health Communication Service website, that has over 90 languages in over 600 health resources and counting. So lahat ng yung mga questions na gusto mong alamin, kunyari gusto mo lang malaman about your health in diabetes, or so there's information there in language na pwede mong padala sa yung mga kaibigan, and that's here, and it shows where the services are. For example, yung mga, and this is primarily for health workers, for example, for Jason and Jerome, na but if you're working with your nurses, you're not only working with the Filipino community, you're working with other communities. So you can tap on this, use this. If you're speaking to an Assyrian patient, you can grab that information and use it and then share it with them.
Wow, very useful. Maybe we could share the link so we can actually pop it into to this platform. Thank you, Ms. Jess, about that. But just going to the nitty-gritty, were there any specific initiatives na tailored to them to address the other healthcare needs na mga Pinoy during the pandemic or just after the pandemic?
Well, to be honest, with the Filipino community, we needed to inform that the messaging that we did for the Filipino community was about thanking the health workers, as I said, and delivering messages that were in Tagalog. So it was in Filipino. The messages were in Filipino, and here's some information so that the health workers can help other communities and to promote that messaging. That was really important because we knew for a fact that there are a lot of health workers, a lot of doctors, a lot of community members, given the top 10 language groups in Australia at this time. So it was important for us to target that and the other top communities as well. Although there are those top high populations, we make sure that the other smaller communities are not left behind. Yes. So we made sure of that social media is important because we know that social media for the Filipinos are very open to social media. So we targeted that. We made sure that there were social messages and also that there is radio interviews, that there are, they listen to radio, and whether it's that community radio and also in local areas, that was important. So we made sure that we had these messages. And as I have mentioned time and time again, the Filipino community media are quite close. There's this community that happens and people are talking. I'm in one of those emails and people are talking, hey, how can we help this? How can we work together in delivering these messages? So if one person, one media journalist hears this, they share it with the other media. And we know that. So because I know that, so we share that information with the community. And so that's been really, really wonderful because Filipino-Australian media had been quite supportive with getting the messages out. As you know, every 11 a.m., there were press conferences during that time. There was 11 a.m. conference. Then we also made sure that the communities who weren't able to listen to the 11 a.m. presser were able to get messages in the afternoon. So we had the COVID New South Wales health updates. So we recorded that. That was recorded in English and in other languages. Then it was available in an MP3 file on the website so that that could be sent out to the community as well in your WhatsApp or your Viber or your phone. This is the latest news. And that was the way we targeted it. We had to target it in a way that, oh, for the Filipino community, these are the COVID messages. For the Arab community, this is the messages. So we had to target it specifically for the community so that they would listen to it. Because if you say, oh, in five languages, I don't know if that five languages is mine. So the QR codes came up. And yun, para pag ginamit mo yung phone mo, straight to the language instead of having to go around. We're fortunate that a lot of the Filipino community can speak and read and go onto the website. But what about our grandparents? What about those who have just arrived and can't access? So we had to find ways of accessibility. How do you do that? So it's just not getting it translated. How do you get it on the website? How can it be accessed? What if they go here and it doesn't click, and how do you do that? And at the same time, for health messaging, we don't do Google translations. We don't do machine translations. We have to have it translated by an ATI accredited translator, tapos checked by another translator, and then community checked para yung information na nakukuha mo ay relevant and informative and correct. Kasi it could be some of the translations are too high level na hindi mo naman magagamit. So that was what we did to make sure na yung mensahe para sa Filipino community and the other communities were tested. But because you can have the best translation in a very traditional way, pero kung hindi naman makukuha ng magagamit ng community, you've just wasted so much money and time.
Well, I was just about to ask, pero I think na nasagot niyo na rin partly yung tungkol sa resilience ng Filipino community dahil dun sa mga tinailor niyo rin na iba't ibang mga services para sa kanila, para malampasan nila yung very, very challenging period na to. Pero na-mention niyo doon yung technology. Paano siya nakatulong sa inyo? Or is this also challenging for you? Kasi lahat ito parang bago sa ating lahat eh.
Oh my gosh. Yes, technology is quite different, and you use that in a way that will engage communities. We did social media tiles. We thought that that was really effective because seeing social media tiles can be in one message. Kaya lang, if you we had to teach people because, as you know, in general population, you have it in messages, is get tested, and then
Yes.
nandun sa messaging yung sa Facebook or dun sa post content nandun yung messages. But what we had to do was we had to get the message in one tile, the key information, and that have that translated and available in JPEG para pwedeng padala ng mami ko, sa kuya ko, sa kapatid ko, or sa, para that message can be sent out in multiple
Yes.
ways that can be sent out to someone traveling back. And then audio messages. Now, yun ang prone, we have found out the best practice, the way of targeting other communities, because health literacy or literacy for facts, meron mga ibang komunidad na they don't read in language, they can only listen to in language. So that's the best way we're trying to target some communities para makuha nila yung mensahe. So technology has really helped because, as I said, yung COVID key points, we can record this. E pag linagay natin sa Instagram, magagamit ba nila yan? Or there's so much thought that goes behind just
Yes.
getting one message out or a video. So yung video na yan, katulad ng ngayon, we were able to do this
Right.
on Zoom. Remember before? I remember when I was a journalist, we can't do that. It's yung pixelated, hindi pwede yan. It has to be high definition. The quality has to be good. I remember when I was working with CNN, we had the satellite telephone, and we were going from another country, and that was a bit pixelated. And that was okay because it was a satellite phone. But before, you couldn't. We'd have to go to you, we have to film you, we have to make sure that the lighting is right. Now here we are talking on screen with all of us. That would never have been possible before. Technology has been incredible in delivering messages, and we need to take advantage of that. But at the same time, there are those messages and translations that we can't use because misinformation, pag health information, hindi mo pwedeng gamitin ang Google Translate. You can't use that. We just
Yes.
won't do it. There's a health policy for us at this time.
Wow, and we really gotta be careful kasi minsan talagang kahit isang word lang ang magkamali, maaaring maging iba na yung interpretation ng mga makakarinig dun sa message na yon.
Yes, and I can also speak, as a frontliner, that even yung colleagues mo na marunong magsalita ng language na kailangan ng pasyente para maintindihan niya information, hindi mo siya pwedeng hiramin para i-translate sa iyo. You have to go through a proper, as you've said, translator, and there are processes for that. So thank you, Miss Jess, for highlighting that. In terms
I
of
also wanted to highlight, Jason, that it is important kasi meron namang healthcare interpreter services across local health districts na dapat gamitin na ang mga health clinicians can contact na tapos may translating interpreting services on the phone. So it is important na that thing na dadaling ko yung magulang ko o dadaling ko kapatid ko or dadaling ko yung I'll help my grandmother or my parent to speak the language. You can't. Kasi yung information and health information is really different. And in New South Wales, we are, sa New South Wales lang meron ng healthcare interpreter services. Usually there are interpreter services, but in New South Wales, the interpreter services are trained with health messaging and health keywords. Kasi how do you translate sepsis? It's sepsis, it's sepsis, but it is sepsis. But that's one of the messages that we're trying to deliver to people today. And I was checking, ano bang sepsis sa Pilipino, sa Tagalog? And it's sepsis. But have you heard of it before? But now it's something that is actually a really important message because if you've never felt so bad in your life, it could be sepsis. And I never knew that, even if I'm in health. I don't know, Jason and Jerome being in health, this is now a term that keeps coming up. But
That's correct.
that's what we're trying to do now. There are healthcare interpreter services and there are translated resources available, but there are people who can deliver this and run through those health messages in language with you who are professionals.
Yes. And in line with that, ma'am, do you think there are other initiatives that would make, within the multicultural health department that would make the services more culturally sensitive or understanding, especially for the Filipino community?
Definitely. I mean, as a multicultural health communication service, and that's why there's, we're so really, really proud of having multicultural health services across the country. Take, for example, in New South Wales, take, for example, a transcultural mental health service that's available in several languages that people can call if you, kung gusto mo lang makausap ang isang tao who speak your language and from your country, you are able to help support that. And we're always trying to find ways to make the services better for people to understand where to go, to be inclusive in the messaging. And that's just our role in multicultural health communication service. We're communication, so we're not the front line like Jason and Jerome are. And then from a from and Adinel, you're also more in the level of media. So we all play a role in this in delivering health messages to the community. And we take that seriously. So it's mixing traditional ways, but mixing it with the new ways. So there's no right or wrong if it works for the community. And being creative as well, using an arts approach, using a way that may be, so a lot of people have been using videos and songs, and I don't know in the Pacific
Yes,
community, they've tried doing
reels.
different songs to make,
Parang
say,
naging
hey, get.
TikToker yata karamihan ng friends ko during the pandemic. Yeah,
That's true.
diba? How know your audience? How can you make it easy for them to engage with you, and collaborating with people who know the community well? Because we're from the Filipino community, but there are so many other
Yes.
community groups that we're not aware of in the community. So we can only do the best we can if we're able to partner with a lot of other experts in the community and in health and in the government.
And speaking of that, Miss Jess, in terms of, from a leader to another leader, what do you think would be the barriers or the enablers for bringing them together to this discussion about health and bringing the message out there, with regards to, the post-pandemic initiatives of the Multicultural Health Department?
Well, one of the initiatives that's been really successful is when we started the Multicultural Media Online Conference, and that's really been good. It started weekly before, and then it's now fortnightly with COVID updates, but also other health information. So that's a way of enabling information through the media, through health workers, through the community. But I think as well is just being honest and saying, look, for the Filipino community, this is an issue that's happening. Evidence says that there's this amount of people who need to get tested, or who need to make sure that they might have diabetes. Diabetes runs very much in our community. And in 2014, we ran a campaign on healthy eating, where we tried to, it's a healthy recipe competition, but we targeted in a way that it's a recipe competition, but hey, did you know that diabetes, how can you change your diet by, so it's really tapping in ways. And then you also ask the doctors and ask the community leaders, this is for your community, and that is what really works. When you tell the doctors, look, this is the issue now, diabetes, or this issue is really high in our community, and we need to do something. And with that message, people will come together because they care. And that
Nice.
has
That's
been
really good.
an enabler, and that has always worked.
Just being transparent and being relevant, kasi marami tayong, especially in the Filipino community, maraming iba't ibang sakit, and basically, when they might emigrate here, inisip nila na, oh, okay, free ang healthcare, so I'll just go to, to this and that, to this hospital and that. But definitely, they come without much of the knowledge, and that multicultural health department, I'm just learning this now, all this now, and it's very, very helpful. And
And how long have you been here?
ten years, yeah.
It's really different. And that doesn't matter. It
Yeah.
because information is information, whether you
That's
get it
correct.
now or you get it
Yes.
The other, it's
The
information, you grab
information
it.
is evolving as well. You
Yeah.
see, during the pandemic, every minute, there's something new. So yeah, your role in the multicultural health department is really, really valuable, Ma'am Jess.
And as I can see, parang ang common denominator nitong mga messages at saka yung mga communication efforts na to ay yung trust ng community doon sa mga ibinibigay natin na information. I think doon tayo nagbabangko
I
kasi
agree.
without that trust, kahit anong pang impormasyon yung ilabas natin, hindi siya kakagatin or hindi siya pakikinggan ng ating community, lalo-lalo na sa Filipino community. So it's really great to hear yung mga efforts kung saan paano binubuo yung mga communication strategies at saka kung paano ginagawa itong mga serbisyong ito para makuha talaga yung trust ng ating mga kababayan. Napakadami ko natutunan from you, Ms. Jess, from
Me
you,
too.
Jason, as well. Sa ating maiksing conversation, ang dami-dami pa palang dapat makuha ng ating mga kababayan. One thing lang siguro is paano natin ito maiaabot sa kanila.
And I think marami pang paraan na hindi natin alam. There's so many other ways to do that. And there's Filipino food movements now, there's sports movements, there's dancers, and there's so many ways to tap into health. So for example, physical activity. How do you tap that into health? Now, I turned, you turn a certain age and then you become agility does not, come so fast anymore. You move. So how do you do that? Or in terms of finding ways to eat adobo in a better, healthy way,
Healthier way.
in a healthy way, reduce it. So it is about finding a lot of creative ways to deliver the messages. And there's more. And there are many creative people out there who we can tap and collaborate with. So that's what we try to do. Let's do it. This is a collaboration, and there are so many ways we can work together.
And
It's an honor.
finally po, siguro ano pong mga last message ninyo para sa ating mga kababayan?
Well, I just want to say thank you. I think that's the most from a heartfelt thank you to the community for embracing the messages that we've delivered. And I know that there's a lot more to do, and we want to partner with you as always, and we want to make sure that we're delivering the messages na para sa inyo. At gusto namin kayong tulungan niyo kami, magtulungan tayo para to keep the Filipino community and the rest of Australia healthy and safe.
Just like this podcast series, the Kalinga Podcast Series that we are offering to our kababayan, isang napakagandang inisyatibo na makapagbigay ng impormasyon para dun sa mga hindi pa alam yung mga ganitong bagay. Because sa pagdaan ng mga araw as we move on dun sa iba't ibang mga topics na meron tayo dito sa serye, marami pa tayong ihahatid sa ating mga kababayan na mga information na talagang makakatulong sa pang-araw-araw nilang pamumuhay. At syempre, yun din sa mga concerns nila sa healthcare at ganun din sa mga serbisyo.
Ayun nga. At maraming salamat, Deputy Director Jesusa Halaratne of the New South Wales Multicultural Health and Communication Services for joining us today.
Maraming salamat and always a pleasure to be speaking with you.
At abangan po ang mga susunod pa na episode ng Kalinga Podcast Series. Muli ako si Edenel Magtibay mula SBS Filipino.
At ako si Jason mula sa Filipino Nursing Diaspora Network.
Comment, sundan ang SBS Filipino sa Facebook.